Continue to guide us through your Holy Spirit. You are the author of God's word. You are Jehovah, you are Lord, you are God. Open our eyes that we may see the wondrous things of your word. Help us to receive your word even today, O Lord. You are our teacher, our comforter, our strengthener, our standby. Let Jesus be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are living in a time where Jesus said there is going to be severe deception. So I want to speak as the Holy Spirit leads. Protection from deception. Protection from deception. Signs and wonders do not determine the truth. The Bible speaks about signs and wonders. It says some things are about them that are good and some things that are frightening. So we need to know exactly what the Word of God says about protecting ourselves from deception. Now, there are two questions to be asked. When something that we see, we need to ask, is it a manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Or is it coming from any other source? Secondly, is the manifestation in harmony with the word, the scripture? Is it lining up with the scripture? Because 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, the Holy Spirit says about the scriptures, all scripture is inspired or breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Holy Spirit being the author of the Word of God, He is the one who breathed, gave the words to the prophets. He is the one who was responsible to form a body inside the womb of Mary. He is the one who brought Jesus into her womb. For Jesus was invisible before that, as he is now. But now he has a resurrected body. The Holy Spirit brought Jesus from the tomb, resurrected him. The Holy Spirit is going to bring him again. Now the Holy Spirit will never go against what he has written on his word. Always remember that. He will never contradict his word. So Jesus warns people about the end time deception. This is very serious. Very serious. Again, most of these important things, sad to say, that are not mentioned and taught diligently and seriously in many churches. Now, Jesus warns us four times in Matthew chapter 24 within 21 verses, Jesus is warning four times about the coming deception. And that is on now. For this was written 2,000 years ago, nearly. Now Matthew 24:3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Mind you, he did not say the end of the world. We will study some other time. That's got deep spiritual truth, the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one deceive you or misleads you." The King James says deceive you. Verse 5, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Not some, many. Verse 11, "Many false prophets will arise and will deceive many." Both times, see the word "many" used twice in that verse. Not a few prophets and not a few are deceived. Many false prophets. If there are false prophets, there will be false apostles. There will be false pastors. Are you all there? There will be false teachers. And many will be deceived. Deception. Jesus is still talking. I've given you three verses already. Three times Jesus has mentioned deception. Verse 24. "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, as to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Even those who are elect, set aside. So Jesus is speaking about deception in the end time, which is now. As many have been deceived and many are being deceived and many are in deception right now. This is not talking about the public, the people as whole in the world. No, within God's people. So deception is number one thing that we need to be aware of and guard against. Are you all listening? Yes. Now please, this is so vital. And it's so dangerous. And if we are careless of what God is saying and warning us, there is no other option. There is no other help for us other than we just go in for it. What? Deception. Deception is believing a lie as the truth and you don't know it. You don't know it. You cannot see. People can just speak to you, but you cannot see. It's already made a stronghold out of that lie. The greatest single danger in the end time is not poverty. It is not sickness. It is not persecution. The greatest danger Jesus mentioning here is deception. How we miss it and how careless and how lightly we take these scriptures, the warnings of God. Brothers and sisters, there are five special warnings for God's people, Christians, in the book of Hebrews. We're not going in there now. I believe in the eternal security of the believer. You're born again, you are passed from death to life. You have passed from darkness to light. You have passed from the kingdom of the devil onto the kingdom of his dear son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. You're born again. But Jesus also said, he who endures to the end shall be delivered. We must endure to the end. That means salvation is secured for those who heed the warnings of God. Are you there? If you throw away the warnings of God and then live as we like, God never gives us a license. Well, now you're not saved, live as you like. There are some people who think that way. Live as you like. Now I got you into my kingdom. No. If anyone says that deception is something could not happen to me, nobody can deceive me. He's only denying what Jesus has said in his word. He's saying, well, Jesus, I don't believe your words. That person is already deceived. He has believed a lie from the devil. Well, you're not going to be deceived. Don't be worried about it. And these people, you just talk about deception, but don't worry. You're okay. And always remember, easiest people the devil deceives is those who have his character. Pride goes before deception. You become puffed up and then we know everything. I got experience 20 years in the ministry, 25 years in UK and 15 years in Australia, and you go, anybody goes that way? Peter never knew what he was talking. He kept on arguing with the Lord. And the Lord never argued with him. He just left him. Where? He said, just a couple of hours probably. And you will find out soon. And he found out. Pride goes before deception. Signs and wonders do not determine the truth, but only God's word will determine the truth. Signs and wonders do not determine the truth. The final authority is the word of God. Now we need to be, now I am not against the signs and wonders. I know the Bible is full of signs and wonders, and the gospel will be preached as a witness to the nations. Yes. But everything will fall in alignment with the word of God. But the final authority is the word of God, not signs. Are you all there? Yes. Signs are there for those to draw their attention to the preacher, to what he's saying. I want to say that again. God does these things as an attestation so that the people's attention will be drawn towards the man of God speaking the word of God. So when they believe the word of God, they get saved. No one gets saved by looking at a miracle. If that was so, all those Pharisees should have got saved when they saw Lazarus and they wanted to kill him. So Abraham said to that man who was talking from hell, that rich man, if they are not going to believe Moses that and the prophets, that means the word of God, they're not going to believe any dead man goes from here over there. That means if anybody is not believing the word of God, man, you don't need a miracle. You are doomed to hell. Are you all listening? The word of God is the final authority. It determines the truth. God says, he says what he means. That settles it, finished. The devil never argued with Jesus, but man is arguing. The devil knows the word of God is the truth. And Jesus spoke three times. He shut his mouth. So much so powerful the word of God. Now, the truth is already determined and established. John 17:17. And you should know when you come to a time like this, as you are going through the scriptures, you are listening, the power that is locked up in the word of God is coming towards you. Your eyes, my eyes cannot see. The Holy Spirit is taking the word of God and doing something in your spirit. It penetrates your body, your soul, and your spirit. And if there is any darkness anywhere, God is able to do away with it through his word. He sent his word and healed them. You got to notice when you come and then listen to the word of God and you go back home, then you may, if you don't notice, you have, you know, you can be so ignorant, and then God has taken away that depression, that you know, that unknowing sorrow and that confusion, that fear that you had is no more there as you leave, because of the power of God's word. Amen. John 17:17. Jesus in prayers saying this to the Father, sanctify them, separate them, set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. We know that Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus is the living word. The scripture is the written word. And the spirit of God is the spirit of truth. Are you all there? All these three agree all the time. And you got to pass as a test of anything. You have to get those things through these three tests. It is easier to catch the error. Psalm 119:89. It's okay. See what David is saying here? Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. Your word is settled in heaven. God has settled and established his word. It is settled in heaven. No one changes it. He is not going to change it. It is going to be there forever and ever. You see that? Nothing can change the word of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Satan can produce lying signs to attest his lies. Oh, he does that. We remember Moses threw his staff and that became a serpent, and the Lord told him to do so. And Satan imitated that thing. And the sorcerers came and threw their sticks, and those things became snakes. Sticks became snakes. But he can go so far only to the point where God can permit. I like the scripture that says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. All right, big thing, Satan. So what is next? You want to copy me? All right, the next one. Go ahead, Moses. Get some frogs. Bring all the frogs. You know, don't you ever think that everything that is supernatural is from God? Never. Be on the alert these days. And you ask me, why, Pastor? Because Jesus warned you and me. And they came and asked, what will happen, Lord? Tell us about some signs of the end times and how it's going to end. Jesus immediately never said, oh, there are going to be earthquakes. No, he never said that. He never said that there are going to be wars. No, he never said that. Oh, there are going to be famines. He never said that. He said that later. The first thing he opened his mouth and said, see to it that no one deceive you. That means there was so much of deception that's on now. You know, there are many churches, and many people are in churches. They go around like the Israelites. They went around and around in Mount Sinai, and they did not know they are circling around the same mountain. Are you all there? Yeah. And God has to say, Moses, tell them they have been doing this for a long time. They went round and round and round and round, same mountain. Deception. Now, 2 Thessalonians, 2 chapter 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, let your word go forth and heal your children. Heal us, Lord, and deliver us. 2 Thessalonians, 2 chapter, verse 9. Let me read from verse 8. Then that the Lord, lawless one will be revealed from the Lord, whom the Lord will slay with one breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one who is coming in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. You see, the man Antichrist who is going to say that he is the Christ and all that, is going to be permitted by God, and Satan is going to use that man to perform wonders and signs. Going to do many miracles. But they are false wonders and signs. False. But for the people who see that, it is going to be the real. And they're going to be amazed. Wow, this is the person whom we are looking for. He's the one who is going to bring peace to the whole earth. Look at the wonder that he made today. How he healed that person who died and he was raised, you know. False wonders and signs it would be permitted. Verse 10, and with all the deception of wickedness of those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be delivered. They did not love the truth, which is the truth. The word of God. Brothers and sisters, listen with your inner ears. No love for the truth made them to believe the false wonders. No love for the word of God. For this reason, what is the reason? No love for the truth. Say that with me. No love for the truth. For this reason, God will send upon them. Now watch here, not the devil, not fallen angels. The Holy Spirit says, God will send. He will send what? Upon them a deluding influence, a strong delusion, deception, so that they will believe what is false. If nothing staggers you and me, this must. Are you listening? If we are not awakened by anything, even a time bomb, this must. Because they did not love God's word. They did not love when the word of God was preached. They did not love and desire God's word. God said, okay. Now you're going to watch what I'm going to do. He sends strong delusion, false deception and lies. And all those people who did not love the word of God will get caught. When God sends something, you can't escape. Because he's not a loser. He's always a victor. Are you listening? When God sends something, okay, I'm going to send. You know, he said, Ahab was talking mightily that and this and all that. He thought that he was somebody. And then God said, okay, who will deceive Ahab? You remember that? And one evil spirit came and said one thing, another evil spirit came and said another thing, and then one said, I will go. And God said, what are you going to do? I will go and sit on those people as a lying spirit in their tongues. All those 400 prophets spoke lies. That's why I say, I just said that as an example. When God's decided to do something, he wins. And he is winning, he will win. We are behind the victor, the devil is a loser. The book is already been written. Revelation book is closed. No matter what the circumstances, we are winners, we are behind the winner. If the devil reminds you of your future, he's going to be that and this and all that, reminds him of his past. Excuse me, it's the other way about. If he reminds you of your past, reminds you of his future, and it is there. Look at that. My tongue got. Can you see that? Can you see that? That's right. See? That shows us that somebody must be praying for the preacher when he's preaching. So the Holy Spirit says here that there are such thing as lying signs and wonders. There are true signs and lying signs. Satan is fully capable of producing lying signs and wonders. The reason why people are going to believe the lie and the false signs, the false wonders, is because they did not love the truth. Now, I want to pause here for some time as the Spirit is making me to do so. I believe in my heart. Do we love the truth? If we love the truth, what do we do about the truth? David said, I love your word. And he didn't stop there. It is my meditation all day. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your word, your Lord. And here we are. In our heart we say that we love his word. But then, like Martha, we are just plugged in with so much of things during the day. And then all what we have is grumbling. She missed one Bible study and got mad. I get really, really mad when I do not have a good time of fellowship with the word. And Jamin will be a witness. I turn out to be a devil without the word, and Jamin turns out to be a worse devil without the word. And you can see when the two devils are inside. You know? True. Nothing can replace the word. Why? Because he said that, that's why. Man shall not live by bread alone. I mean, we say, okay, yeah, Lord, but then, you know, in Canada, you see. That is universal, written for everybody. And then we somehow try to excuse ourselves. And here we see, because these people did not love the truth, love the word, God said, okay, what's going to happen? You're going to be deceived now, because I'm going to send something here. Brothers and sisters, this came to me very strongly within my heart. If we do not set up our priority, there is no excuse, starting from here, me, myself, there is no excuse of pressure of work, or work at home, work outside, or problems with children, a problem with finance, problem that, problem this, problem in the church, everywhere. I got to work there, I got to come back and work and everything. Oh, anything. And then we go on neglecting, not giving quality time to the word of God. Not reading it for the sake of reading, or sometimes out of guilt, or in a hurried way so that, you know, that we be before we go to bed. Just to, you know, pat ourselves. So, well, I just read it today. Are you there? Because otherwise we go to bed and then think, oh, I'd read the Bible. And the devil comes and says, yeah, you didn't read, you know. don't worry about it. And then what happened?
And then now, after two, three days, now when we get down to read and meditate, now we got to wonder, where is my soul now? Where is it now? One time it is in the mall, the other time it is in the church, other time it is somewhere else going and talking somewhere, and you want to bring that thing here. You think only we have problem with the soul? No, I didn't come into this now. There's nothing over there in that my notes, these things. But I'm just being... David had problem with the soul. His spirit wants to worship and his spirit wants to pray and all that. And he finds, my God, my soul is going here and there. What is the soul, mind, will and emotions? The mind has taken off. And he says, why are you disquieted thyself, O my soul? Why are you so depressed? Why won't you praise God? David's spirit is talking to his soul. And his soul goes, I believe, no, I don't want. Nobody cares. I'm so depressed. All the demons in hell are against me. Oh my God. I have cried, I have fasted. Oh my God. I got worms in my intestine. Nothing is working out. As I climb up, it's like climbing up on a grease post. Go up, you come down. That happens because we skip neglecting that day and the following day. Well, and the devil comes and lies to us, you know. Well, God understands, you know. I mean, you love actually the word, but then you, well, you know, God knows. That's the very same thing. God knows. Eve heard those words in Garden of Eden. God knows, Eve. Don't worry, darling. You eat it and, you know, never said you won't die. And here is staggering, you know. But these people did not love the word. And here we have more Christians filled in churches. They don't love the word. You know what they love? Food. Isn't it? Is it? No, my... You know, we have the freedom. We must laugh and do it. I welcome all that. But at the same time, always remember, these things are happening now. People don't have the love for the word. My God, you pass about half an hour, they keep watching time. Well, it's too long, isn't it? You got so much of work. I've got to get back to that, get back here and all that. And true brothers. And this, the very same, the miracle that the Lord is going to produce through his word, the very same thing that we are trying to neglect. You see? And grumble. And look at Martha. She just missed one Bible study at home. And she goes, bub, 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 bub. And she disturbed Jesus too. And she made a fool of herself in front of everyone. And that was recorded. I wonder where she was when Luke wrote that. If she was there, then she had missed the Luke, brother. Are you going to put my name there? My? What about Mary? She grumbled some other time. And today we read. One Bible study missing. Now, I want to say this. We will pay the price. And we are, some of us, paying the price. Some reaping. As we go on neglecting, The ground gets hardened. And afterwards we come in and open. Oh Lord, I bought this Bible in English. Why it seems like Greek? Why? Nothing comes out. You read and you, maybe I felt like this. I take Romans. But I said, oh well, I know the first chapter and second chapter. What is in the ayat? Let me go to the 8th chapter. Oh, well. And man, I tell you, you say, Lord, and you don't know what to do. Now, next is what? You want to jump on somebody who is coming in front. Get it? Or is this my only experience? It's true. Oh, Lord, why did I go from here? Right. Now, for people who do, now so we need to be very careful about giving priority for the word because of deception. And also, Jesus said, this is our food, and we neglect it. We have no other option. We cannot escape the deception, the lies that are permitted, that God is sending, because people will not love the truth. And the deception is on now. They did not love the truth. God gives the reason. Have love for the word of God above anything. Gold, silver, husband, wife, house, car, job, anything. Love the word of God for your own food and strength, and also to keep ourselves from deception. That's why. So people who will not love the word of God, God will send delusion. If God sends deception, no one will escape. Now, our only safety is to know the God's word, the truth of God's word. John 8:32. Go back to 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Continuing in the word of God, continuing to meditate and study the word of God, leads us to revelation knowledge. Jesus never said you will understand the truth. He said you will know the truth. You know in your spirit, you understand with your mind. The teachers in schools teach to the soul. They explain and make it clear for the children, students, to understand what they are studying. But only God's Spirit gives us revelation. And boom, it comes, and then you know it. And then you try to explain, what did you receive? Well, I don't know. How can I say that? I've got it here. Husband and wife can sit next to each other, and a preacher can preach, and then suddenly the wife gets the revelation, and she goes, did you hear that? No, I didn't hear anything. What did you hear? Usually we see, did you see that? I never saw that. What did you see? Well, I have read that scripture many times. I didn't see anything. Revelation is dropped inside our spirit. So Jesus said, if we continue, there are many saints of God today, due to the circumstances, due to the pressure of life, due to all kinds of problems, due to the deceitfulness of riches, due to many other persecutions on account of the word, the word becomes choked, and they, not purposefully, day by day, they go away from the word of God. They go away from receiving the revelation knowledge through the word, and becomes withered. As Jesus said in John 15, if you do not abide in me, the word, that branch will be withered. And how many days we walk like withered branches? Isn't it? And we are in a withered condition. Sometimes God has asked us to pray publicly, and we try to now put some words and try to impress and da-da-da. Oh my God. Very true. See? There is no other way to know the truth unless we continue in the truth. See? It is one thing to learn the Bible for knowledge, another thing to hear the word of God in our spirit. There are so many people study the word of God for knowledge. You can have all your certificates, but you must have revelation knowledge. You can get all your degrees. But
5 minutes with the Holy Spirit and revealing something to you, you're going to be on fire before people. Are you there? That's right. You know, I mean, Psalm 119:99. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. What we will do without his word, oh my God, in this dark world. Isn't that right, Brother Peter? Oh my. Is it any wonder the devil keeps us away from the word? Meditation and studying daily. 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies or your word are my meditation. He's not talking that testimony is my reading. No, meditation. Meditation is going over and over in our minds. We meditate most of the time our problems. Isn't it right? We are degree holders and that, huh? Diploma. No problem. We can just lie down, sit down, going in the bus, meditate. Mind, I tell you, sometimes we even miss the place where we have to get down. So much meditation. Since deception is so high, as Jesus said, and the only way to escape deception is the final authority and the revealed will and the knowledge of God's word, we need to test all things that come our way. Everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Does the Bible say, the Holy Spirit say, some false prophets or a few? Many. Many. There are false apostles, false prophets, false teachers, false pastors. Oh, yes. Revelations 2:2. Yeah, probably the church must have had a crusade and then, you know, invited some of these people. I don't know. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars to his right hand and the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands says this. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test. Can you see that? And you put to the test or examine those who call themselves apostles and they are not. And you found them to be liars. Can you believe this? Can you see this? And today, people are seated in many churches and they can receive anything. Anybody can come and preach anything. And they get deceived. And they will know, you know what they said? Oh, it's none of my business. Now you have to judge everything. You have to judge everything within the church. God judges outside the church. If you are going to believe everything that happens in the church, you are the next first class candidate for deception. Are you there? Are you listening? Now, the Bible says our hearts can deceive us. Proverbs 28, 26. 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. He who trusts in his own heart is what? Is a fool. That means we depend on our own emotions, our own thoughts, and our own reasonings, and our own knowledge. God says you are a fool because your heart is going to deceive you. We need to be aware of our heart first, isn't it? Before the devil. Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all these and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who? When God asks a question, who can understand it? That means nobody. Either. He's not stupid to ask a question like that. Watch, the scripture says the heart is not deceived. No, it doesn't say that. The heart is deceitful. That means it can deceive us. The heart of Peter deceived him to say, no, I am not going to betray you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I love you. And Jesus said, no, Peter. Three times. Three? No! His heart deceived him. The heart is deceitful. There is only one source of truth. There is the word of God. Amen? That is the word of God. I'm going to show you, and I believe that I have a little time over here. Oh dear. Okay. Listen carefully. God warns us about mixture. Especially mixture of spirits. You take the sugar and you take the running salt. Both look the same, isn't it? God says, for example, don't mix them. This is for just example. You mix them and keep it there. Anybody will come and say, oh, that's sugar, you know. And they will have a little bit taste of the sugar as well as the salt. And God says, don't do that. Mixture of spirits. God hates it. The Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit. There is a demon spirit which imitates the Holy Spirit. The New Age people, they talk about the Holy Spirit. You know that? That is not our Holy Spirit. It is a demon spirit. For them, it shows to them like the Holy Spirit. Now, what God hates is the mixture of these spirits mixing up together. Leviticus 19:19. This is interesting. If you have been going to sleep until now, you will wake up now. Leviticus 19:19. Have you got it? You want to keep my statutes. You shall not breed together two kinds of your cattle. This is God's warning. Do not breed two kinds of your cattle. Do not breed horse with a donkey. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed. Nor wear a garment upon you of two kinds of material mixed together. What is God saying here? He is opposed to mixture. Get the spiritual truth from here. Holy Spirit, please help us, O Lord. Now, Deuteronomy 22:9. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seeds. All the produce of the seed which you have sown and the increase of the vineyard will become defiled. Hello. Do not sow in your vineyard two kinds of seeds. I will come to that. Mixture. Deuteronomy 22:9. Verse 10. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. What truths the Holy Spirit is giving here. Don't take a foreigner when you are going with to for evangelism. Don't mix an ox with a donkey when you are plowing. You know, plowing means that you going for the ministry of the Lord. All right, we'll come to that. You shall not wear a material mixed with wool and linen together. Right. Now, God is opposed to mixture. Say mixture. God is against three things. Now, let us go back to 19:19 Leviticus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just can't tell it in words how the Holy Spirit is helping me to speak these words to you. Honestly, I'm just telling you. Words are coming out of my mouth which are not in this notes. Now, 19:19, you want to keep my statutes, you shall not breed together two kinds of your cattle. Breeding mixed livestock, number one. Sowing with mixed seed, number two. Wearing a mixed garment, number three. Now, look at me. Breeding mixed livestock, different kinds of animals, to breed them, to allow them to mate and produce something, can mean to a Christian or a Christian ministry or a group having company or aligning with them with another group that is non-Christian. We try to join with them to do the ministry who are non-Christians. We just join with them also, but they outwardly look Christian. Follow carefully. Believers marrying unbelievers, breeding wrong seed. You know that 2 Corinthians chapter 6 speaks of that. Many of you know that. Huh? Yeah. Chapter 6. Verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, or with partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or with what fellowship has light with the darkness? What partnership have righteousness with lawlessness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what a believer has common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement with the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from them, from their midst, and be separate, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, 17, and 18. And you can read. So it means that if you go to Ezra 9 chapter, you see, breeding mixed livestock means joining with wrong people and trying to achieve God's plans. Ezra 9:1-2. Chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Now, when these things have been completed, the princes approached me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands according to their abominations of those Canaanites, the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and for the sons, for the holy race, King James says the holy seed, are you there? Has intermingled with the peoples of the lands. Indeed, the hands of the princes and the rulers have been foremost in this unfaithfulness. God opposes mixture. Don't marry an unbeliever and ask God to change him. Don't buy him a Bible and get him baptized. He will be a wet devil. He will be. And I have seen this, these people, they suffer, you know. They are deceived in thinking that God will somehow change them. And they do not know they are entering hell. And they are going to enjoy what hell is. And there are people who would not tell them that you have done like this. And then, well, what do you want us to pray now? I like John Hagee says, enjoy your hell. What to pray now? No, you are completely at the mercy of God. You knew it and then you went for it. You see? You can read the same thing in Nehemiah chapter 13 verse 23 and 24. And also 13, 1 and 2. Nehemiah 13, 23 and 24. And also the same chapter verse 1 and 2. Now look at me here. Please. Breeding mixed seed is something strange. Very strange when God forbids it. Because the product, that which is born, is always sterile. Unfruitful. It is sterile. Barren. Yeah. If you mate horse with a donkey, are you here? The product is a mule. And the mule is always sterile. Did you know that? It is sterile. It cannot reproduce. So God says, why do you try? This is what happens when we sow different kinds of seeds inside the church. And what the result is, sterile. Can't. That's the Holy Spirit, brother, because that's just right there on my notes. The result of that will be confusion. And confusion leads to deception and division. Yeah. So God says, why do you want to mate the horse and the donkey and then get a... But something that I did not ordain. And people try it. And the one which is born may just have four legs, but then it cannot reproduce. Mule. This is one of the major reasons, listen carefully, why many Christian ministries are sterile, unfruitful, cannot reproduce. Mixture of seeds. Mixture of spirits. This is compared. The spiritual truth is the mixture of spirits. A clear example of a person who had a mixture of spirits in the Old Testament is a King Saul. One time, King Saul prophesied with the Holy Spirit, and another time he prophesied with the evil spirit. 1 Samuel 10:10. Are you all there? Are you going home? You are here. Oh, isn't it God's word so lovely? 1 Samuel 10:10. Man, I tell you, this is real food. 1 Samuel 10:10. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him. Met King Saul. I mean, he's not now just ordained, anointed. And the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. Can you see that? Now, 1 Samuel 18:10. Watch this now. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand, as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. What does your King James says? The evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and then? And he prophesied. Can you see that? And go with me to 19th chapter 23. He proceeded there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also, so that we went along prophesying continually until he came to Naoth in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothes. Can you see that? A person becoming naked. A prophesying person. 19, 1 Samuel 19, 23, 24.